Sorry, sent you around the ring.
But maybe it was the Asian guy in me that was like, okay, I'm going. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. How have you guys been today? Has it been going well? Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. You know what?
We have one person in the bathroom.
No problem. No problem. Thank you.
Did they say not to answer a question?
Did they say what?
Oh, did he just tell you not to answer a question?
Oh, no. He just said just wait for a second.
He said there was one in the bathroom. I thought, oh, here she is. I have to tell you, I was blown away by the backgrounds and the world you brought to life.
Thank
and
you
I'd always
so much.
Heard that water was the, you know, drive you people
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, it's really difficult.
Could you just, did you actually end up cheating and just shooting that and putting it
inside?
I wish. I thought about that being a former visual effects producer. Why don't we just go shoot the elements? But
it looks like it's that real.
Oh, right on. It was always an effort to try to respect nature in that way, trying to kind of like honor it and recreate it in a way that served the story in both its beauty and its dangers. You know, we would do a lot of research out there. Denise Reem, our producer, you know, when I took over the project, it was like, let's get lost and feel what it's like to get lost out in the wilderness. And I'm from New York, and so going out to like the Northwest like that, I had only seen in the movies that I grew up with. And I'm a movie fiend, and so from John Ford to George Stevens Jr., I remember how they would capture certain things, and there was, you know, Shane was one of my favorite movies growing up, and there's an opening shot to that of the Teton Valley that I'm like, you know what? A lot of dinosaurs are found there. That's where we started our research, and going through all that area, boy, everywhere we went, I'm just like a city slicker, just like, you know, horizon to horizon for me is like McDonald's to like a Subway. Out there, it was just like, oh my goodness, we can see 500 miles. This is gorgeous. But then our guides were like, you see that little crack there in the top of the mountain? A landslide had happened there. And you're like, whoa, that is huge. Would you camp here? And it's just like, yeah, I would camp here. But look at all these rocks. There was a rock slide here. And so everywhere we went, there was this extreme beauty and then like real threatening danger. And then so when you're talking about that kind of quality, we wanted to kind of capture and honor it because our cinematographer, Sharon Callahan, she's from that area, and she painted all up and down the Snake River, and so she was a master of understanding how water looks on top of the rocks there, and how during the fall, how the water, the colors would change and all that. And so she was able to give us what we call like a painterly realism in the world, and all of that in an effort so that we can make Arlo. Arlo's very cartoony, he's very different from that background, but we did that very purposely so that you could feel the boy in the dinosaur, you know. If we had a realistic dinosaur, you would just be thinking, you know, eat the grass, you know, eat the branches, you're an animal, be fine. But the original pitch on this thing was always about that boy and dog story and flipping it and making that boy a dinosaur, you know, and that little dog, this little human boy. And so, like, if this was live action and you put it like a kid out there, you would want that, like, I'm going to die out here. He doesn't fit in. He's not going to survive. And so pushing Arlo in a way that he did kind of feel a stranger in a strange land, but also that he wouldn't, that you would think he might not survive out here, so that those tests could feel real. You know.
Now, some Disney influence creeped in there with the loss of somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the first for a Pixar film, right? Is this the first time you lose?
Maybe.
Brave.
Nemo.
Nemo's Nemo.
Brave, yeah.
Well, she's been done.
Right.
Yeah.
But in Brave, that's right, the father, yeah, gets his leg bit off, but the mother in Nemo. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that in a while.
Well, and Up, you
that's
know.
Right. That's right.
Carl loses Ellie.
Yeah. There's a lot of death.
But this project has been through lots of dramas and lots of changes, so did you feel any kind of pressure when you were on board?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
It was really scary.
I
started on the project in 2009 with the original director, Bob Peterson, who I worked with on Up as a story artist, and he was co-director writer. And then I made a short during Up, and then after the short, Bob pitched this idea of the boy and dog flip. And then he asked me to come help develop the project with him. And we started developing that idea, but then out of that, as you would, any of film. But when you ask what ifs, it can go anywhere. And then it started growing into a father-son story, and then it started growing into a, you know, a changing the community story, and then it just got pretty heavy in terms of the plot. And we kind of got stuck in just like a lot of Pixar movies that I've been on, you get like creatively stuck. And so they asked me to take over, and the first thing I wanted to do was like simplify it back to Bob's original pitch and honor, like, yeah, that was what was so fun about this, just keeping a nice simple story about growth and see how we can, you know, keeping it that simple was something that was also a challenge in its own way, because people got excited about it's so simple, but you can't hide anywhere. John Lasseter would keep saying, like, you know what, it's excited to try to do something that's simple, but there's no place to hide. And but yeah, and so that was kind of the evolution of this thing. But then, you know, we really did kind of restart 2 years ago.
We totally shut down the production, which has never really been done at Pixar.
2 years ago?
Little over 2 years ago.
Okay.
We shut it down. We took everyone off and basically went all the way back to treatment stage on the script, and basically worked treatments, script, and just hammered on the story. And then at the same time, when they named Pete as director, I had the really unpleasant task of rejiggering the supervisors and the kind of heads of department, because I said, you know, if we want to do this in the time frame that we have, we need to get experienced people, because I needed Pete to solely focus on the story along with our writer Meg and our story team. And then we got, you know, other people that were sort of Pixar veterans that kind of could take care of the production shot execution, which honestly is the more straightforward thing to actually do. And so that was big for us. And it was sort of counterintuitive, because you're like, okay, you're behind and you're stopping. But it's like there's nothing to produce, there's nothing to work on until we actually know what the story is going to be. So we started from scratch. We originally weren't going to shoot in where we did in Wyoming, but we were so inspired by that area, we decided that's where we wanted to set the movie. So
did the characters largely remain the same, the look of the characters?
Kind of. Arlo was an older character in the kind of the early inception of it. He was like his 20s, kind of like a man-child sort of thing. He was immature in different ways. But and he was a little bit more realistic. I guess he was a little bit more kind of solid versus kind of our round Arlo. But in terms of trying to find the boy, we would make him younger, or that was something that I really was trying to find. Like, you know, this is one of Pixar's first films about having young main characters. You know, Inside Out has a young character in it, but the Joy and the main characters are from an adult point of view. And so that was an interesting challenge for us, and so something that excited me about, can we tell the story about a kid actually maturing through this? And so Arlo's design would kind of reflect that, to try to make a dinosaur feel incapable and that runt and that youthful thing that we were looking for.
Can you talk a little bit about the casting of the voices? Because obviously,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, Sam Elliott's voice is just like, I just listen to that all day long.
I know, man, guys.
But getting Raymond for, you know, Arlo must have been very important.
Yeah, it was nuts.
That was quite a challenge. We ended up, the casting department just did incredible work. I mean, we listened to 1,400 boys all over the country. We went to regional theaters in the South. I mean, we kind of left no stone unturned. And then, lo and behold, in our sort of own backyard, we found Raymond, who just was really an incredible actor. We were both sort of blown away by his range. We went down the path with one child for a while and did several recording sessions, and he just couldn't hit the emotional tone that we needed, and I don't know, Raymond was amazing.
Yeah, and it's kind of a gamble, because when you're working with when your character is that cusp age where you're like going to turn, mm-hmm. boy, you could hear it clearly in recordings where like you get a recording a month ago and it's like, hi, I'm, you know, Charlie or whatever it is, and then like then when you bring the actor in, it's like, hey, what's happening? Like, oh my goodness, you know.
Well, our last session,
Yeah, Raymond's voice really kind of changed.
Yeah,
or
very, very
started getting deeper.
The last one, I walked in and I was, holy, is this the same kit? I mean,
but I really didn't think that it would be that hard to find, and like it's really that much of a switch. And
So
did that you write that role for Sam Elliott? I mean, I'm sure you didn't audition.
You know what's so funny is that there was no audition. It was always saying like, boy, it would be great to get someone like Sam Elliott. Boy, he's kind of like a Sam Elliott type. Boy, you know what? Like, yeah, maybe there's a Sam Elliott quality we can get into him. And then, like, why don't you just get Sam Elliott? Like, we should ask him.
Yeah, that seems so obvious. But.
Yeah, and, like, you know what's funny? Those T-Rexes went through an interesting evolution, too.
Yeah.
When we first kind of started off with this idea of, like, what if there was a frontier world and dinosaurs come from that area, and they've evolved to kind of be herbivores, become farmers, carnivores become ranchers. That's kind of interesting. And when we first started the T-Rexes, they were just the cliche from me, because I didn't know that world. Just like JR, JW, JL, they're three kind of cowhands, no relation to each other. They're all kind of, you know, like curse and ding dang ding damn it. And there was just all this kind of cliche. And you know, the story itself was also going down that route of just like saloons.
Way more Western in tone.
Yeah, and I just felt like we were making fun of what I loved about the West and those movies. And then,
felt like a parody.
Yeah, and then so we did some research. We met this family called the McKays, and it's all connected through Ann Brills, our associate producer.
A production manager.
And she got us connected to this family that lives in Oregon, and it was two white couple, older couple, Joe McKay and Joan McKay. And they adopted five black Haitian kids. And they were, like, this family, like, were so raised in love, everybody. And we went out there to go, let's go be city slickers and ride some horses and move cows. But then meeting this family was the big surprise of, like, you're like my family. I grew up in New York, my family had a grocery store, but we were a family unit trying to survive in a city. You guys are a family unit trying to survive on thousands of acres. And it was so moving for me to go like, this is how, this is the whole thing. So each family, every member needs to be an integral part to make the life work. And this was the same way out there. And so there was that survival aspect that I was just like, okay, screw JR, JW, JL, let's make this a family. And then that could also teach Arlo of what he's looking for in his own life. And I can't tell you how moved I was by these ranchers out there. And so it's like Joe McKay is very much like Sam Elliott. Like he's like 6 foot tall dude, you know, he was from Texas, but now he lives in Oregon. He's got that kind of deep voice.
Did you see when he shook his hand?
Yes. Well, I was just so embarrassed. Like, I have these marshmallow hands, and I'm like, nice to meet you. And, like, it was shaking, this log. And he wears sunglasses, so you don't know where you are with him. But, you know, he's got these kids that, like, are so nice, and they're just like, they're like, hey, y'all, you all come back with me here, and we'll get you on a horse. And going out there, it was so funny that this dad taught their whole family this way of saying, I'm going to teach you this once, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole family lived in that. And it just made me think of, like, boy, I'm such a helicopter parent with my kids. I'm just like, are you okay? Let me do that for you. Let me do that for you. I'll do that for you. Where this dad has taught this whole family just like, you know how much I love you, but, like, if you don't, if you know, like, you got to respect the world and this business, I'm going to show you at once. And he did that to us without, that's just how we lived. And so I could go on. I'm sorry. I really loved that whole.
Yeah,
that whole
needless. Family. They greatly influenced the film.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
All right, we've run out of time. Sorry, guys. There are people outside.
Oh, are you kidding? Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I went so long on that. We looked at that. Jurassic Park is one of my favorite movies, and we referenced a lot of that concept. Just knowing it. But we pulled away from it because that was all bird movement. But we went to paleontologists, went to museums and studied elephants and giraffes, more column-like animals. But then for the T-Rexes, for sure, they have a very obviously like kind of like a rider on a horse kind of quality. But, you know, there was a huge balance in that way, too, because it almost felt like, in the beginning, because it's just the back two leg, it's almost felt like Terry Gilliam from Monty Python and the Holy Grail with the coconuts. But then trying to find that balance that would honor what we saw out there in Oregon and this family, that there's a real practicalness to their work that they need to do on the horse. And but there was all that kind of action kind of like reference, but then also the character reference really started to go in. For example, Arlo, we wanted to feel like a boy, so we would look at a lot of teens and how they were kind of gangly and kind of overgrown. And then with Spot, we started off with dogs, but then we started looking into other animals too, and then finding the humanity in him as well. I'm sorry I went so long on the Western thing. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. Oh yeah.